covering is the, you know, there's hundreds of scriptures about covering. And covering is a, to a Gentile, is an anathema. It's the idea that there is some place that defines a expose of your self-divinity, your individuality, your salvation of the isolated self. Because by definition, covering takes more than one, and it requires the spiritual sense of what submission is. There's an interesting way to know whether or not you are in a state of being uncovered. And that state is any time that you have an option, a choice in anything, by definition, that means that you are in a state of being uncovered. You are without spiritual covering. The thing to do is not to sit and consider what the options are, it's to go to the covering. Do you understand?
Mm-hmm. Okay, this goes back to when you were talking the other night about a covering is some place you have to put yourself under the covering.
Right.
And by that token, you can take yourself out from it.
Right. And whenever you are in a position where there are options, God has taken you out of the covering for a test. Or he's, in the other idea of it, he's taken you out of the sheepfold for the test. Now, the test isn't that you'll make the right decision. The test is you'll go back to the sheepfold or you'll go under the covering, rather than trying to make the right decision. You understand that?
Yeah.
It's really big. It's so simple. Any time that you have an option, you've gone outside the covering. Let's go to John 10. Now, this is the worst news that a Gentile will ever hear. It happens so quickly. You start on a particular day, and some small issue confronts you, and you believe you have an option. And then pretty soon, your mind begins the mind of the Gentile. You have 100 options. Well, you have 500 options. You have an option about everything. And pretty soon, you're like the lamb that got lost. I mean, he didn't get lost all at once. He got lost one blade of grass at a time. And pretty soon, yeah. He's so far out there, he can't find his way back.
I thought.
But the idea that a believer has a right, not only a right, an inheritance, to walk always in light. If you're always in light, that means there is never a place where there's a decision. There's never an option, because you're always in light. You're always in the way. There's not two ways, there's the way. You're tested by going off the way. God, by His Spirit, pushes you outside the way so that you... And then if you get outside the way, then you're confronted with two choices. And if you choose between those two choices, then you're another step outside the way. And then you choose between two more and you're another step. And pretty soon you're 500,000 steps. What the intent was, the continued with Him in His temptation is, the moment, the second, that you're faced with an option, you run to the covering. You don't give a shit about the choices. Because the world, the things that we're about, never have anything to do with what is apparently the choice. It has to do with whether or not we've continued with Him in His temptation. Understand? This is clear as a bell right now. I hope it is to you. What?
Well, I mean, obviously you know that this is stuff that, you know, I struggle with a lot. You know, the ideas of options and decisions and authority and not authority and covering and not covering and, you know, all the stuff that went on here at Carver recently. So I've been thinking about these things. So it's just like in there going.
Okay.
What do you mean run to the covering?
Yeah, thanks for asking that.
You mean, you know.
You don't have to physically go anywhere.
Call all the
other. Oh, no, 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 no. To run to the covering means to know that that's not the issue.
Oh, okay.
You run to your covering in your mind. You know that that's not the issue. You know, if you just speak to it, you speak it out of existence. You speak that choice out of existence. Now, if that becomes something that is troubling you over time, then you run physically to the covering. You understand?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But to think that there, that's why it's so wild to eat the afkamen in knowledge. Because the afkamen is eaten only when you've run out of options, when you're fed up with everything else. Then you eat the bread and drink the wine.
Yeah.
I mean, do you have an option? That means you really then can't drink the wine or eat the bread in knowledge, because you can't discern the Lord's body, because you think there's an option. If we were truly spiritual, we would wait before we drank the wine or ate the bread until each person had run out of options in their mind. What are you struggling with tonight? As long as you're struggling with it, don't drink the wine or eat the bread. Because if you do, you will eat the bread and drink the wine unworthily, not discerning the Lord's body. Because if you have an option, that means by definition you haven't discerned the Lord's body.
It's almost like a catch-22.
Because God doesn't give a shit about catch-22 only if you have your eyes on the senses, the sensory perception of things. It's clarity if you know that none of the things in the world make a difference. It's that line that...
It's like all life is a catch-22 if you're in that realm. Right.
Let's not go to John. That's a boring one. Let's go to Psalm 42. 45. Psalm 45.
No, that's a very... That's a silly passage. Where?
Psalm 45. Well, John, he talks about what it's...
The conversation has become tiresome.
John, you're tiresome. Get out of here. I'm attracted at the same time I rip you.
Like them all to the brain.
You should either be chided or condemned.
You're at a less than a tip in here. It's full of...
Where are we? Psalm what?
45.
45.
Okay, Psalm 45. The essence of Passover, you got to hear this because it's the type of everything we're seeing. The essence of Passover is that the bride is moving into a state where she has no options and she's betrothed. That's what happens at Passover, is the betrothal. Okay? But the betrothal, from a spiritual standpoint, means to be without options. That you have investigated everything else. From God's standpoint, you can't be betrothed and want anything else. You got it?
Yeah.
Spiritually, that means that you can't be betrothed, you cannot be part of the bride until you're in a state where there are no options. That's the test that goes on internally within us. You got it? Okay. So this psalm, Psalm 45, is about a bride that is considering her state of being in a position with no options. And she's wondering, and she's sort of wondering aloud about whether or not it's a neat thing or not. Okay?
Oh, man.
What?
This just looks good. I haven't even really started reading
this. It's good. This is good stuff. My heart is indicting... A good thing, a good matter. My heart is indicting a good matter. My heart is expressing a good matter. Rather than being in the state of the turmoil and tossed and turned position of what the hell am I going to do about this and this and this, my heart is expressing a good matter, okay? I speak of the things which I have made touching the king. I speak only of those things, my heart thinks only of those things that I have made or understood. The word made and understood, you remember, are the same word in the Hebrew? So if I make a, if I build or make an altar, I understand the altar. If I build or make a wedding, I understand the wedding. The idea is that's what you must do. I speak of the things which I have made touching the king. I speak. My mind speaks. I talk to myself. I mind talk only about the things that I have made or understood as touching the King. You got it? My tongue is the pen of a ready writer. Skillful writer. Vis-a-vis the things touching the King. I don't speak of things that aren't touching the King. If I begin to speak of other matters, I see that they're lies. I see Jesus. I look and I see Jesus. I look there and I see Jesus. I look here, I see Jesus. Wherever I look, I see him. I no longer see myself in anything. The world is no longer a mirror. Hallelujah. And because it's no longer a mirror, I no longer see myself as a separated, isolated self struggling to gain something. I see myself only in matters as concerning touching the King. I see Jesus, the King. Remember? I mean, we tell you this often. When Christ came into Jerusalem for the Passover, the scripture, the law says that if the King comes in on the clouds, in the clouds, he's happy and joyous and everything's cool. If the King comes in riding on the colt of an ass, he's really pissed. So that for them, when they saw Jesus and the crowds acknowledging him as the King, and he came riding in on the colt of an ass, it's like Jesus is coming soon and he's really pissed. That's what the Pharisees heard from that. So for us, he's already come riding on the colt of an ass. If we only see him after the flesh, then we only see him coming in on the colt of an ass, pissed for our Passover. But if we see him in the clouds, if we see him as all and in all, then we see him in a joyous place. And we are looking because our heart is expressing a good matter as touching the King. You got it? And my tongue, you got to start seeing this. Your tongue speaks. Your tongue moves when you mind talk. Do you understand? Your vocal cords move when you mind talk. You mind talk 10 times faster than you talk. You can speak about, the average person speaks 130 words a minute. You mind talk at 1300 words a minute.
That's so weird. I mean, we don't have to talk about this now, but do you think verbally?
Yeah.
Sure.
But you think so fast verbally that you don't consciously know it.
Also vocalized.
That's why disc jockeys originally were taught to talk fast, because you can hear faster. I mean, like three times faster than the normal person talks, 3 to 5 times.
Well, anyway. Okay, my heart is expressing a good matter. I'm just overwhelmed with this tonight for some reason. The idea that we could be in a position where our everything within our heart, everything was expressing only this good matter as touching the King. That we didn't have to put up with any of the bullshit in here or in here. We don't have to give it any breath because we know it's dumb. We know it's vanity. We know it's hopeless. We know it's fruitless. All of the other things we're fed up with. I speak of the things which I have understood as touching the King. My tongue is the pen of a skillful writer. Thou art fairer than the children of men. Hallelujah. We see the King. We see the Christ. He's fairer than the children of men. I no longer see when I see Harry. I no longer see him as a child of man because he's not fair. I see the King within him. as the fairer than the children of men. Sometimes.
Pretty fair. Once
in a while. Okay. Thou art fairer than the children of men. Grace is poured into thy lips. Therefore God hath blessed thee forever. Now gird thy sword upon thy thigh, O Most High, with thy glory and thy majesty. And in thy majesty ride prosperously, because of truth and meekness and righteousness. And thy right hand shall teach thee terrible things. Thine arrows are sharp in the heart of the king's enemies, whereby the people fall under thee. Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. The scepter of thy kingdom is a right scepter. You know what they understand the scepter is? The scepter is the symbol of authority. And it's the right symbol. It's the correct symbol. It's the valid one. It's the only one that's right. It's the only one that has merit. How many other symbols of authority have you had in your life? Well, this is the only one that's the pure one, the right one. Thou lovest righteousness and hatest wickedness. Now, word wickedness is this great word, Aven. Self-seeking. That's what it means. Thou lovest righteousness and hatest wickedness. Therefore God, thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. Do you know what the word anoint means? It means to Christ. That's the word. Hamashiach. In the Hebrew, but in Greek, it just means to Christ you. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ is to anoint you with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. All thy garments smell of myrrh and aloes and cassia. Out of the ivory palaces whereby they have made thee glad, king's daughters were among thy honorable women. Upon thy right hand did stand the queen in gold of Ophir. Now, you see, this is what the heart is indicting. This is what the heart is expressing. This is what the heart is seeing. Now, keep your finger there and go to Philippians. Philippians chapter 4. General Electric Power Company. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. Philippians chapter 4. Do you see what this is expressing? My heart is always indicting, expressing a good matter. Now this is the Philippians version of it. Chapter 4, verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say rejoice. Let your moderation, the word moderation there, is the word that means abandonment. It's a terrible translation. Let your abandonment be known unto all men, the Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Now finally, brethren, and this isn't finally in time, it's finally in philosophy. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. What things? My heart is indicting a goodly matter. I speak of the things which I have made or understood touching the king. Do you understand? That's what it means. You consider him, Jesus, as all and in all. I used to never be able to understand that. It just seemed like some kind of positive weirdness. All right, go back to Psalm 45. Now it's Christ talking to you. This is the words of Jesus Christ talking to you. Hearken, O daughter, and consider. Incline thine ear. Forget also thine own people and thy father's house. Understand? Now we are the body of Christ, and members in particular. There's neither male nor female. We are the bride of Christ. Each one of us must forget our father's house. We forget the gods of our fathers, the value systems. And we march into this new arena where we never are in a state of anything except my heart is indicting a goodly matter. We are never in a place where we have options. If we have options, we push them out the window. The blessedness of a people that never have to have an option. Not because we're brainwashed, but because we've considered all of the options and find them lacking. Hearken, O daughter, and consider, incline thine ear, forget also thine own people and thy father's house. To incline thine ear, these words, the words are in a state of poverty in English. Before the scriptures could be read in the Old Testament, first of all, there had to be 10 men of rest present. And then before the 10 men of rest, now it's not no longer men, it's because there's neither male nor female. You understand that? Now it's 10 vessels at rest. And before you can read the scripture, you had to read the Shema, or Shema. And it was particular scriptures that were carried in the phylacteries, and the things they put on their forehead and then their wrist. If you saw Fiddler on the Roof, you remember every time they walked through the door, they reached up and kissed the phylactery. That was the scriptures, these scriptures that were in that leather pouch.
Mom has them in her house.
Yeah. And when you go through the doorway, the doorways are symbolic of our, what we see and hear, our sensory perception. You're right? You understand? And so we kiss the phylactery, i.e., our senses are so exercised so that we see that phylactery, that same thing, in every one of our gateways. Mouth, ears, eyes, nose. And it says, the Shema says, hear, O Lord, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. That's the first sentence of the Shema. And the word hear is the word, doesn't mean just hear a noise, it means to hear with perfect clarity, with perfect understanding, to hear with the clarity of a perfectly cast bell. That particular unique sound that comes from a note that is exactly played perfectly with the exact everything. So that's what hear means. And hear, it's what listen means. You understand? It's not just listen to noise. It's listen and hear what's being said. Hearken, O daughter, and consider and incline thine ear. Incline thine ear to hear only the fact that your heart is indicting a goodly matter. That you're never in a place where there are options. If there are options, you run back under the covering. You don't have to live like the Gentiles ever again. You don't have to be in that terrible position when you're totally uncovered and you're left totally to your own devices. I remember that position when I recognized my paucity, my poverty, and I had nothing. I used to give the speech that I got to know the most powerful people in the world, and I found out they knew less than I did. But then I really found out what my heart knew and what I knew, and it was absolutely less than nothing. And I was left with nothing, with no hope, with no answer. if we listen to any other voices besides that which is of the King, take it to the end. Don't listen just for a little minute. Take it all the way to the end. Hearken, O daughter, and consider, and incline thine ear. Forget also thine own people and thy father's house. It's one of the least studied scriptures in the Bible. Also the one that says, Jesus said, you'll travel over sea and land to make one convert, and when he is made, you'll make him twice the child of hell that you are. That's right up here with this one about, forget also thine father's house. So shall the King greatly desire thy beauty. In other words, when you do that, so then shall the King greatly desire thy beauty. For he is thy Lord, and worship thou only him. And the daughter of Tyre shall be there with a gift. The rich among the people shall entreat thy favor. Now what that means is, you will see, once you have this mindset, you will see that everything in the universe is serving you. Because you're serving him. You understand? You won't see this crap separation that this is an enemy and that's an enemy, and oh, I have to protect myself here and I have to protect myself there. You will live in freedom. The King's daughter. Now it's talking about us again. Because we are the daughter, and that's why Christ in the Song of Solomon, which is read on Passover, by the way, says, my sister, my spouse, my sister, my bride. The King's daughter is all glorious within. There's no spot or wrinkle because she has tested everything. There's no thing in your mind that you're still thinking there's choices in. There can't be a spot or wrinkle within you if you've pushed everything to the limit, if you've found there are no choices. The King's daughter is all glorious within. Her clothing is of wrought gold. Why? Because you've put on the Lord Jesus Christ, his glory. You have Christed, and the oil of gladness, the gold, is rushing over you. She shall be brought unto the King in arraignment of needlework. The virgins, her companions that follow her, shall be brought unto thee. With gladness and rejoicing shall they be brought. They shall enter into the King's palace. Instead of thy fathers shall be thy children, whom thou mayest make princes in all the earth. I will make thy name to be remembered in all generations. Therefore shall the people praise thee forever and ever. That's what it means to be in a state of coveredness. Your heart is indicting a goodly manner. You don't have to again ever put up with a second of a state of time in which you're not in that position. You understand that? It's all right to play that goo goo gaga bullshit stuff when you're a child. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high place that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ, to see Christ as all and in all. Everybody understand perfectly?
Yeah.
You understand coverings a little better? That if there is a place where your mind is going to options, that you rush to the covering to see that the options are never the battle. It's the fact that you're out of the covering that's the battle. Go to one more thing, Luke 22.
Luke.
One little simple scripture, Luke 22.
It's really long.
What?
It's really long.
Verse 28. How's that shorten it?
No, the whole chapter is really long. It's only one verse.
Okay, Luke 22, verse 28. You are they which continued with me in my temptations. That's the remembrance of tonight. The temptations of Christ are no longer your temptations. If you're into a state of options, then you're into your temptations. Get out of them. Go to the temptations of Christ, which is never to lean on his own arm of understanding. And I promise you, it'll look stupid. It'll look crazy. It'll make no sense to your mind or anyone in the world. Because you'll be in a position like I was. I mean, everything and everybody I knew said, do something. And I said, no. And the body formed. Everybody wanted me to do something. This is after I was a believer a long time. And everybody wanted me to do something. And then everybody that wanted me to do something left. And believe it or not, the only two that stayed were Gary Buckner and John Rutledge. And Pete was in college. He was up, gone. The only two that stayed were Gary Buckner and John Rutledge. This was in 1975.
Damn. That's a long time.
It was a long time.
I was eating popsicles.
But anyway, but isn't that strange? The only two that stayed. We had all kinds of people. There were 600 members of the foundation. I had 12 people working full-time for the foundation. We're doing all kinds of wild stuff. And then, wham. Everybody left except Gary and John. And we kept having these stupid meetings. We'd meet every 3 months or something. What are we doing? I don't know. I just know we can't do this. I only know what we can't do.
The speaker.
Huh?
Just giving you the business.
Busting the other.
No.
Just giving you the business.
But anyway, then. But you see how crazy it looked to anybody, to everybody? There was nothing.
What do you mean looked?
What?
What do you mean looked?
Anyway. Consider these things. Consider what covering means. Covering isn't something that you can't get there unless you see what it isn't. Okay. Take a big guy.